The weather certainly is letting us know that it's winter. Well, we're going to go ahead and just open up our hearts, prepare our hearts to receive what the Lord has for us today. Father, we come before your throne of grace right now. And Lord, we just ask that we would be able to enter into, Lord, a heart and a mind, Lord, of seeking you, a heart and mind of receiving, Father, all the good things that you have for us today. We just ask, Lord, that you would just allow, Lord, us to tune in to what you want to do, Lord, in our lives, in our hearts, and in this service. We just ask that you would just continue to reveal yourself to us, Lord, as you so desirous for us to know you. Lord, we want to know you. We want to know you fully and wholly, Lord, all that you are in our lives. And we just now turn ourselves away from the distractions, from the hassles of life, from the shopping hustle and bustle that's going on, Lord, and we turn our affections towards you. We look to you, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we just ask right now, Lord, that you would allow us to see and experience you in a new way today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
There's a movie that I watched years ago. I don't even know which one it is, but the guy kept saying, "This isn't personal. It's business. It's not personal." But with the Lord, the opposite is so true. It is personal. It is real. It is intimate. You can't lay back against someone and breathe and feel their heartbeat unless you're really close to them. This is the most sacred time of year, and things may be more different than they ever have been before. But one thing that we can be sure of, one thing that we can count on, is that when we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. And we have to get close to do that. So this year, out of everything, just ask yourself one question. Is it personal?
That I wanted to say, I thought about Christmas, and I thought about all of the things that took place. And haven't been very fond of Christmas because of retail. But I really started thinking about it this year, and I was thinking about God finding us in the dust. And so often we find ourselves in the dust, and we dwell in the dust, and we forget God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost said, "Let us make man in our image and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life." And he leaned over that piece of dust, and he breathed in, and man became a living soul. How did we get so far from that? We got so far away from that. And then I thought about the night that the angels were singing, and I thought about Luke 2. And I thought, you have to understand how my mind goes. I went into Romans chapter 8, where it talks about the whole creation longs for his coming. It groans and it longs for his coming. And I'm wondering how the very earth that we stand on today, how it felt, how it must have felt that night when it found out the Savior was coming. And that there was a hope. There was just a breath. There was a hope. And today, I don't know where you find yourself. I don't know if you feel yourself rolling in the dust today. I don't know if you found yourself, you've forgotten that maybe one time in your life, God breathed into you salvation. He caused you to come alive, but we've become so comfortable with the dust. And we've forgotten that there was a baby. There was a hope. There was a whisper. Can it be? How can it be? And this morning, he wants to breathe life into you. I'm so glad we sang that song because he came. He's not the little lamb. He's not the baby anymore. I'm sure you've all seen it. Today, he's the lion. But I don't know where the emptiness lies with you today. I don't know if you're okay with just being that little Play-Doh dust figure laying in the dust. But God this morning wants to breathe life back into you. He wants to breathe that forgiveness. He wants to breathe that, whatever it is you need, wherever. You know what I love about God? He finds a void and he fills it. We start out in Genesis 1:1 and there was a void. And what did God do? He filled it. This morning, if you're standing here, I don't care if you've been saved 50 years or if you've never met Jesus before, but that's what he does. He finds a void and he fills it. And today, if there's a void, Holy Spirit, this is what I'm asking you to do. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come and fill this place and fill the atmosphere. God, fill this void in my heart this morning. Fill this void. And so this morning, if that's you, I just want to let you know that there's more than just the dust that you've been settling for. So.
Of it all, Lord. You're worthy of it all, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that all things come from you, including us, God. You are a source. You're the source of who we are, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're the one that's at work in us. And sometimes we try to work on ourselves and we mess it up, but Lord, you're the one that we'll even repair and fix the damage that we do in our own lives. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy of it all. Jesus, we thank you that you came. We thank you that you left your place of glory. You left your place of majesty and might. And you came and you humbled yourself in such a way that you became a human being, just a newborn babe. You didn't come as a grown man. You didn't just step out of heaven and take on an adult body. You humbled yourself and you allowed yourself to be cared for by parents and to be raised and to be subjected to this, all of this life, so that you could fully identify with who we are. Oh, you're worthy of it all. You're worthy, Lord. All praise and all glory and honor to you this morning. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let's see what we can come up with. Let's see if we've got something to share. Does anyone have anything on their hearts other than to share? Maybe once we share, you will. So last week, Pastor Ye had the message, yes. Did anybody say yes to the Lord this week?
Yes.
You did, right?
I did.
You almost always have to
live out your own message. I don't know what it is with that. The Lord seems to always challenge that word, test that word that comes in us. And maybe that's why it says not all should be teachers, because seems like we're always tested, Josh, with that word that we bring, isn't it? Yes. Yes, exactly. Couldn't have said it better myself. All right, why don't we go ahead and put the slide up there. So a couple weeks ago, we talked about the works of the flesh over the fruit of the Spirit. And today we're going to talk about the first three of the fruit of the Spirit. Does anybody know what it is? Most people can always quote the first three, because they're all throughout the Bible. Anybody? You can. Anyone? Okay. Well, we'll just go to it then. How about this? Love, joy, and peace. And you know, those are holiday type of expressions. You'll see, you know, those joy, love, and peace on wreaths and stuff. So it's obviously that those are three attributes that people desire in their lives, or at least desire to be around: love, joy, and peace. I mean, I enjoy being around love, joy, and peace a lot better than misery, hatred, and what would be the other one? Turmoil. And it wouldn't be that good of a sermon preaching on misery, hatred, and turmoil. It's not going to be one that, you know, people are going to flock to the building to listen to, you know. But unfortunately, a lot of our lives feel absent of love, joy, and peace, and filled with misery, turmoil, and hatred. Oh, that's, I don't even want to say it anymore. It sounds so bad. gloom, despair, and agony on me. Anybody with a hee-haw background, or are we totally dating ourselves? We're totally dating ourselves? Okay, good. Jerry's raising his hand. There's a few people that might admit it. Yeah. But when we were talking about the fruit of the Spirit, it's from Galatians 5. So I think I'm going to go ahead and read it in the full context. It says in Galatians 5:16 through 26, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." So right there, the whole answer to being in the Spirit is in the very first verse that I read there in 16, is walk in the Spirit, and you will not, you shall not, it will not happen. If we're walking in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So if you're fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, guess what you're not doing? Guess what we're not doing? We're not walking in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit is not that hard. We tend to think it is. Like, okay, what do I have to do? Do I have to, like, repeat some mantras? Chant something? Do I need to, you know, like, stand on my head in the corner and count BBs? It's like, do I have to do something, you know, to really... No, all you have to do is be who you are as a spiritual being. Because we are spirit. So it's a matter of just learning to be who we are. And we can walk in the Spirit. You got to also turn off the noises in your head, though. Mm-hmm. You know, those voices that tell you all the contrary things that you know God says about you. You know what I'm talking about, Noe, don't you? You can think about the things that God tells you, but it's almost like those don't stay. The noises seem to stay. You got to shut them down. Has anyone ever seen, what's that movie? For the Love of the Game. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, Kevin Costner is in his final game, and he just starts pitching it, and he's all of a sudden pitching really well. And but it's like all of a sudden he starts getting kind of a little distracted, and they show how he just quiets the whole stadium to where it's just him and the catcher. I don't even think he sees the batter. That's it, and everything else is silenced. And he just cuts down the noise so he can focus on what he's doing. We need to learn to do that. And the way that we do that is connect with who we are as spiritual beings. Okay, so I went too soon. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh.
And these are contrary or contradictory to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. So what is it that keeps us from doing the things that we desire to do, the things that we know are of the Spirit and of the Lord? It is our flesh. And so they fight against each other. Anybody ever dealt with that? Like the little good guy and the bad guy? Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, hey, buddy. Trip that, or pull that girl's hair when I was a little kid. You know, it's like, throw spit wads or whatever it was when I was a kid, you know. That was the one, and they'll say, oh, I better not do that. I'm going to get in trouble. You know, those two voices, one being the flesh, one being the conscience. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I like that part. One of the things we learned when we were talking about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit is that the works of the flesh are directly connected with the law and following the law and putting yourself under law, putting yourself under do's and don'ts. See, when we put ourselves under do's and don'ts, we put ourselves in a can't position. Why is that? Because there's no way you're going to fulfill all the do's and don'ts. So then what you end up doing is, I can't do this. Instead of, in Christ, I can do all things. See, in the walking in the Spirit, you can do all things. When you put yourself under the law, you're in, I can't do that. I can't fulfill that. I can't be good enough to fulfill all the things that the requirements are that you think you have to follow when you're following the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries. And the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also have told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So obviously, this is a list that we want to stay away from. I mean, obviously, you know, there's certain things on there. I've never done that, Pastor Mike. But there may be things that envies. I mean, has anybody ever envied? Sure. I mean, you know, you look at the works of the flesh and something will get you on there. Jealousies? Wrath? Anybody ever been mad? Selfishness? Selfish ambition? I mean, come on. We can all fall in some category of the works of the flesh. But the works of the flesh are driven by the law. They're driven by do's and don'ts. They're not, what happens is that in our quest to be good, we try to follow a pattern. Now, this is a saved individual. Before I knew the Lord, I just did whatever I wanted to do. Every now and then my conscience might say, well, that's pretty bad. But I didn't have the Holy Spirit in my heart speaking to me all the time saying, hey, son, this isn't good for you. Or how about this? Anybody ever, as a Christian, got mad at somebody and you walk out the door? And I mean, you're not like, you know, 5 feet in your car and you've got to turn around and come back. I was talking to a friend this week and he has a brand new neighbor. And he was going out to his car. And they came up to him and what ended up happening is his cat got into their house, and then they started feeding it and everything, and it was like, you know, wasn't the best because it was outside, and the person thought, well, I better bring it inside, and just trying to help it out, not knowing he had a place in the back for it, but he kind of got into it with her. Didn't mean to. I mean, he was like wanting to say, hi, I'm your neighbor, but it didn't go well, you know, and so this agitation started. Well, he was on his way driving to work, and he got like almost to work, and he had to turn around. Holy Spirit said, no, you got to deal with this. So he got back to his house and they had already left. So he said later on he was going to take care of it. But here you go. That's not going to happen when I was in the world. In the world, I would make people mad. I'd hurt them. And, you know, I said, well, live with it.
Yeah.
You know, happens to me, you know. But as believers, we have the Holy Spirit living in us, letting us to know how to live. And it's not based on, I'm going to treat this person this way and never treat him this way. It's about listening to the Spirit that's in us. When you hear that still small voice, be obedient. Follow. You have something? No, you're good. Okay. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. There it is. There's no law against the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, the works of the flesh cannot compete with the fruit of the Spirit. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That's a whole sermon all its own. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. The fruit of love. So, love is the first on that list. And if you think about it, I was thinking about this. Wow, love is like a fruit of the Spirit? Because I always thought love was just something that I just received from God. And because of that, I was able to, because I was loved, I could love others. But it's also a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Again, the fruit of the Spirit are 9 fruits. But it makes up the fruit of the Spirit. I don't know why it doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. We kind of talked about that a little bit. But they, I believe they are all encompassing 9 that help make us into one being full of balance. Do you think Jesus walked in all the fruit of the Spirit? I can guarantee he did. Because he had the Spirit of God without measure. See, the fruit of the Spirit comes from the Spirit of God. When we were singing, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. And some of you are thinking, wow, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in all the beams. You're welcome to fill this whole place with your presence. When I sing it, I say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Because this is really what matters. This is where the rubber meets the road. You know, the building is great. And I used to come to church wanting the presence of God. But now I realize that I am the church. I am the temple. You are the temple. I mean, you contain God. I mean, when the temple was built back in Jerusalem, and it was a big housing of all this equipment and everything to worship God, it was a representation of who we are. That temple represented us. Because God doesn't dwell in temples made of hands, made of wood, made of stone, made of gold. He dwells in our hearts, in our lives. And that is why we can have the full fruit of the Spirit. Because we have the full presence of God. You're, and I say this a lot, but I'm telling you, it's the absolute truth. You're never going to have more of the presence of God than you have right now. The only thing that will happen is that you will have a greater revelation of the presence of God that you have. In other words, an awareness comes to us all the time. If we're growing in faith, an awareness comes to us of God more and more working in our lives. At first, it's like, oh God, you're in my workplace. You're in my heart. You're in my family. You're working on my behalf. All these things that, to me, represented God in my life. But I've kind of gone inward and realized that he's right here. And because he's right here, he's in everything. So, the fruit of love. So, love, the word for love, in this case, is the word agape. And agape love is a love where we actually get the root of it is charity. So, giving, being kind, helping others. That's the root of agape. Agape is a selfless love that exhibits benevolence. Help. The help word studies kind of gives it a really kind of good thing here. It's love which centers in moral preference, to prefer, divine love, God's perfect love. I don't think we can have true agape without God in our lives. I think we can have good works, and I think we can have the ability to help others. But without agape, I believe the motives start to get bent. You know, because thinking of different political parties, there's a political party that has been around a while. And it was all about helping people. And they wanted to, you know, help the poor and all this stuff. But because the motivation was to control and have power, they weren't empowering the poor. They were enslaving the poor. They didn't realize that the way that you help free people is to make them not to where they don't need you anymore. Let's put it this way. They maybe they do realize it, but they try to keep you where you have to keep coming back so they can have that control. I won't say what party or anything. And both parties do it to a certain degree. But true empowerment comes from releasing people to be who they're called to be, even if they don't know it at the time. So love is, God's love is where we see others with a preference even better than ourselves. Paul talks about to esteem one another even greater than yourself. One of the things that I've tried to do in my relationship with Gay, and I know she tries to do it with me, is that we try to prefer each other. And sometimes it comes down to being so silly as, I want to do the dishes. No, I want to do the dishes. And we're arguing over who's going to do the dishes.
It happens.
And then so then one of us says, okay, I'll wash, you'll dry. She says, she'll wash and I'll dry. But the point being is that there's times when we're trying to prefer each other. Now, it may seem simple, the dishes, but it's practicing a principle. And I try to do that with brothers and sisters as much as possible. Now, I'm not around people 24/7, so it's kind of hard to do it in that way. If you do want me to come wash your dishes, I'll do it, if that's what it's going to take. But I'm just saying that the point is that we are to prefer each other, to give each other an appreciation to where you feel more valued than I do. That's hard. That is only going to come from true agape love, and that's only going to come from the fruit of the Spirit.
You do it better than I do.
I do?
I think so.
Huh? I'm not going to get it. No, you do it better than I do. Yeah, I have to really practice to think about that. I think you do it more naturally. I have to do it like, okay, to be... Or you're saying no? Okay. Don't want to argue over who prefers each other. That would be like
silly.
Bad. Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God, that's the agape of God, has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So here we have hope that doesn't disappoint. In other words, we should have a hope that is without disappointment. Not hope that we're going to achieve something or become some kind of crazy, amazing person, but hope that we will be able to fulfill all that God's calling us to be. See, that should be our number one quest. Because if we do that, if we line up with who God's made us, hope won't be disappointed. But when we put these false hopes... Sometimes they're inspired by God. There's other times we put false hopes in front of us. I want to do this. I want to achieve this. I want to get this. And then we don't get it. What happens? Disappointment comes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes anxiousness, anxiety, frustration, lots of other things accompany it. But hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. Mm-hmm. So when you come to the Lord, look at, there's this picture of agape, picture. There you go. Picture. Got to say the I quicker, huh? Is that it? Picture. There we go. Picture of agape being poured into your heart to overflowing. That's what it's saying. Shed abroad. In other words, it's so full, it spills out. So where'd it go, Pastor Mike? So I seem to have misplaced all that fluid someplace. I need like a refilling. But it's been poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You know what? All you have to do is reconnect with the Holy Spirit. It hasn't gone anywhere. Right. See, that's one of the things that we think as Christians is that we need to go someplace to receive God, or that we've done something that God leaves us. All we've done is become unaware of His abiding
in us.
All we become is, in a way, ignoring the fact that God's love is in our hearts. We don't have to go find it. It's there. We just got to rekindle it. Does that make sense? 2 Thessalonians 3:5. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. So now Paul is saying here, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. So in a way he's saying, realize hearts, the love of God is here. Remember one thing we learned when we did that 16-week series on heart is that it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. That we're to guard our hearts with all diligence because out of it proceed the issues of life. The heart is the center of who we are. And if we can realize that our heart isn't bad when we're born again, it just needs to be cultivated. Sometimes it takes us just, you know, going to our knees and repenting for things that we've been doing. You know, just saying, God, forgive me for this, forgive me for that, or just let me receive your love again afresh, and I repent, I want to think differently from now on. And then the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So he's talking here about the grace of God, he's talking about the love of God, and he's talking about the communion of the Holy Spirit. Now, the communion of the Holy Spirit is fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that when we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we receive the love of God. Those could go in reverse. And when we receive the love of God, guess what? We can see the grace of God working in our lives. You know, it says that perfect love casts out all fear. I know that when I'm sensing God's love, and I have to look for it, I have to acknowledge it. I mean, folks, when you got up this morning, the love of God should have been evident to you because you had another day of life. When you breathe, the love of God should be something that you're aware of because he's the one that is empowering you to breathe. And I know that sounds simple, but it is that simple. Realizing that you're able to go to work, you have the abilities, you have all the faculties to do a job where you can bring home the resources to be able to take care of your family. Man, that's the love of God. The love of God doesn't have to be something fancy, even though it can be very fancy. But the love of God begins with us realizing that our heart's ticking because of his love for us. And you know what that does? That removes all fear. That removes the doubt. That removes the anxiousness when you realize and you're receiving the perfect love of God. And you can see God's grace working in your life much better. You can say, Lord, thank you for that opening that you gave me at my work that now I may get a promotion with. You can see his hand. You don't just say, well, I've worked hard and I'm going to get a promotion. You start to see that it's him and you're giving him credit. Does that make sense?
It does.
You have anything to add about love? Nothing about love.
Not yet.
Okay. The fruit of joy. Joy. Joy means cheerfulness. That is a calm delight, gladness, greatly. To be exceeding joyful, fullness of joy. The Help Word Studies calls it this, properly the awareness of God's grace. Grace recognized. Isn't that amazing that joy comes from grace recognized? So when the love of God's working in our lives, we've received that love, we're aware of that love, we're making sure that we're not neglecting that love and we're focusing on that love, joy can accompany that because you're now seeing God's grace working in your life. You're recognizing it and you can have now a joy that comes with that love. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Now notice that it accompanies with the Holy Spirit. So I believe everything that we receive from God comes through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the conduit. The Holy Spirit is the one that we get to have connected to us that then allows us to also have God the Son and God the Father in us at the same time. You can't separate them. You know, Holy Spirit's not over here, God the Son over here, and God the Father over here. They're one. Just as you can't separate your spirit, soul, and body. Can you guys do that? Can somebody demonstrate it if they can separate their spirit, soul, and body? Even though Holy Spirit seems to be the only one here that we're connecting with, we're also connecting with the Son and the Father at the exact same time. Mm-hmm. And that can be a little deep.
Yeah, I find it really interesting that it says, having received the word in much affliction, that means it wasn't a good time for them.
No, they had a lot of tribulation and trials back then. When they would become Christians, sometimes they would lose their families, they would lose their wealth.
But everything. It said, with the joy of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So that is a challenge to us in the hardest of times, the deepest of times, to allow the joy of the Holy Spirit to be in us, even if we're going through a time of affliction. And that seems to be more and more as the days go on, that we're going to be living that life more than what we have before. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
And so we have to learn that the joy of the Holy Spirit, it too is there. We just have to activate it.
Right. Well, one thing is, again, what we tend to do is to make our natural lives the governing fact of who we are. We tend to make it so that when we have an event in our life that is worth being joyful over, then we're joyful, then we're glad. In other words, you receive a check in the mail, $10,000, it's going to pay off some bills. Hey, is anybody else joyful in here with me right now? Just received a check, $10,000. But that is a false joy. See, that is a joy that has a time expiration on it. Because it's only going to go so far. Our joy needs to be seated and rooted in the truths of who God is in our lives. That's why when they were going through much affliction, for the word's sake, they still had joy in the Holy Spirit. Because their joy wasn't about their circumstance. Their joy was about their relationship.
Right.
About their union with God. Their common union with God. Does that make sense? Oh, I didn't say what verse that was for those listening. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. Romans what? Romans 14:17. Well, because some people may be listening and they're wanting to know what verse it is. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So here again is... We did righteousness, peace, and joy a few weeks ago, actually a couple months ago. But here again is joy in the Holy Spirit. Notice that joy is connected with the Holy Spirit. Joy is connected with the Spirit of God that lives in us. It's not connected with the circumstances around us. And we really have to fight this, folks. I mean, I have to fight this. We went shopping yesterday, Christmas shopping. Folks, I don't like it. I don't get joy going through my veins, and so I can get, you know, in a pouty,
snarky
mood, you know. So I'm preaching to the choir here, right? We need to realize our joy is not in the circumstances. Mm-hmm. Our joy is not in whether or not our bills are being paid. Our joy is not in whether or not we have a job tomorrow. Or whether or not we have a place to sleep. Really, that's not where our joy comes from. Our joy originates in the Spirit of God. And until we get this, guess what? You're going to be just like me. Go Christmas shopping and let the circumstances and the lines
take you down.
And the and what is it? The retail garbage that's out there. And I mean, it's just like, you know, Christmas is meant to be a season of joy. Joy to the world. And yet, it's only joyful when everything tends to go right. And that's not right. It needs to be joyful because of Him in our lives,
right.
Period.
Yes.
And then, guess what? It's easier to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh like I was yesterday. Right. I mean, I didn't yell. I didn't scream, but I was like... You can hear the growls coming under my breath as we're walking down the aisles. Michelle's laughing. Is that Josh? Am I describing Josh or you? Josh. Kindred spirits, brother. We've always been kindred spirits. Oh, both of you? Oh, not a good thing, huh? Wasn't like a date time. Yeah. Okay, we digress. Hebrews 12:2. Look at this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Look at that. The joy that was set before him. What was his joy? You and I. Mm-hmm. Redeeming creation. That was his joy. And because of that, he, the Word, bared much affliction. He had to go through affliction, and he was the Word. But it was because of joy that was coming. It wasn't at the time. But I guarantee he had a joy in him, even hanging on the cross. Some say, oh, no, Pastor Mike, he couldn't have had it. It was miserable. No, there still was within him the joy that he could say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You're not going to do that unless there's something deeply seated in you. See, he even on the cross, he fulfilled all the works of the Spirit.
I like thinking of it like almost the destination was us.
Exactly.
The joy of us. But the highway that he had to take was through the cross. And that's the bumpy road. That's not the freeway, four lanes, you know, everybody going at a nice pace and get to the end. This is the trip to Jerry's house. Like, you know, yeah. Because it's up hills and knolls and bumps. And I mean, that's truly what he said. Yes, I will take that road. I will. Because look at him. Look who's waiting for me there. They're worth it. You're worth it.
And there was no other that could do it.
No.
There was no other that could be slain from the foundation. It was only him. He was the only one that could pull this off, where mankind would be restored back to the place with the Father. Endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The fruit of peace. Peace, probably from a primary verb era is what it is. Peace, literally or figuratively, by implication, prosperity. Now, I like what we're going to learn in the help words. It's set at one again, but this is what it talks about. To join the together into a whole, wholeness, God's gift of wholeness. See, peace is not just, again, a feeling. Peace is not just a lack of conflict in your life. Peace is receiving a wholeness that causes us to be content in all things. Causes us to be cemented into God in all things. Joined to God in all things. That's what peace is. And yeah, sometimes peace like a river, I'm thinking that song, floods through your soul. And it is an emotion. But peace doesn't have to be just an emotion. It can be a state that you're in. Not like Oregon or California. A state, a way of being, a way of existing. I just realized that. Someone's going to think, what state do I need to get in to get this peace? Certainly not California, right? Oh, sorry. Anyone from California, forgive me. Yeah, everybody's like, And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. For the peace of God to rule in our hearts, what do we have to do? Submit to God. You know, it's amazing. There's this verse in James, I believe it is. It says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he has to flee. And I know some people that really try to resist the devil a lot. Man, I'm going to resist this devil. You know, I'm just going to get him out of my life. I'm not going to do the things that, you know, that he's trying to tell me to do. They forget something. You got to submit to God. And what does it mean to submit to God? It means to submit your power, submit your will, submit your ways, and submit your control. Exactly. Into his hands. And when you do that, you can then resist the devil. and then he has to flee. I believe this is the same thing with the peace of God. The peace of God is not something we conjure up. I'm going to hold the peace of God. I'm going to hold the peace of God. I'm not going to hit this guy because, you know, he's in line, cut me off or whatever. No, the peace of God is something that as we submit to God, the peace of God will rule and reign in our hearts. I believe that. I don't think it's something we have to go try to find and conjure up. It's something that we get to have because of who he is in us. Let's see if maybe we get some more from this. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So here we have peace and joy that we're talking about, fruit of the Spirit, are also very much attributes of the very kingdom of God. Remember, we learned a few months ago that the kingdom of God isn't like someplace you go. It's not something you do. The kingdom of God is not like a person. Just, you know, the kingdom of God is Jesus. The kingdom of God is the Father. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of heaven. And it dwells in us, and its attributes are righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, see, when you make your requests known with thanksgiving, the peace of God comes. Why? Because it's, again, you're submitting those things to God. You're not carrying them in your heart, worrying about them, wondering what's going to happen. Oh, are we going to pay the bill? You're not worrying about that. You're submitting those to God through prayer and thanksgiving. And then the peace of God floods your heart. It guards your heart. And it will give you a peace that surpasses any understanding, any natural wisdom, any natural circumstances. This is a peace that is from God himself.
It's really funny because I think that I have become habitually think that, you know, when bad things happen, God moves away from me, or, you know, where was God when this happened, or where was God when that happened? But God doesn't ever move anywhere. Mm-mm. God is there. It just is the unawareness of his presence. And what makes me do that is that I take myself away. You know what I'm saying? I get into, if it had only gone this way, then I could have had a little bit of peace. Or if it only gone that way. But that's not what this is about. This is about accepting that you have actually this peace within you that doesn't even make sense to people. It surpasses
natural understanding,
this understanding. It surpasses that. It's like, how in the world can you be so peaceful when that and that and that's happening? But God gives us the ability, because the peace that he's already planted within us, we just need to activate it by submitting to God, by loving on the Lord, letting him love on us. I mean, it's easy to do, but it's so hard. Does that make any sense at all? I mean, it really
is.
It makes
sense to me.
It's easy to do in God, but it's really hard to do. But he does make a way that we can do it.
It's a matter of what we focus on.
It sure is.
And frankly, it's pride. It really is pride. It's because we think, you know, I deserve to be frustrated. Because these lines are really, I'm going back to these lines are really long. I mean, for crying out loud, they've got the loop going on. Then they go back down through an aisleway, you know. And we're not saving that much money. I mean, these, you know what I'm saying? And you deserve to have this frustrating moment, not realizing it's robbing you of your peace. It's robbing you of your joy. It's robbing you of the ability to show love to others. And what is it? You're choosing to focus on what seems to be a frustrating moment.
But
instead
also,
of focusing on, this is the celebration of our Lord's birth. I thought that a couple times. I had to work on that. But I mean, focusing on, this is an opportunity to smile at somebody who may be having a miserable day. You know, I wish I would have had me next to me yesterday. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we can change our heart if we change our focus.
How many times did I do that to you?
Oh, yeah.
Honey, calm down. And I kept doing that because he was robbing my peace and stealing my joy. Because he's like, Arr! I mean, it almost sounded like he was one of the seven dwarfs. Grumpy, grumpy, grumpy. I mean, that's what it was. And I kept saying, calm down. I mean, it's not worth getting upset over. It isn't. Because, and this is what I always say, if in 1 year's time from this day, you can't remember what you saw, what happened, who was there, it must not matter that much.
Oh, boy. You didn't say it. So you probably wouldn't have received it, though. So.
Do you understand what I'm saying, though? Because this is a simple analogy. I used to, when I worked full-time and had to be up at 6 in the morning, I would always get into these shows that lasted until 11 o'clock at night. And then the next morning I'd wake up grumpy because I didn't get enough sleep. And all of a sudden the Lord says, why are you waking up grumpy? Well, because I stayed up too late. Okay, then quit staying up so late. But Lord, I wanted to watch that. Will you even remember that you watched it a year from now? That's when it started in me. So if we're not going to remember what, you know, if, come on, let's have priorities. The biggest priority in our life is God. My personal relationship with him. That's the main priority. Everything else falls in place. And if it doesn't, shame on them, not you. Do you know what I'm saying? It will fall in place. But God has got to be the number one. He's got to be. Because all of this, it's a vapor, guys. When you breathe on a mirror and it fogs up and then goes away, that's how quick this life is in the whole scheme of things. Says it in the word. We're living in a vapor time. It's a blink. Eternity is what we're supposed to set our mind on.
And some of us have evaporated more than others already, right?
Exactly.
Some of us are just a little film left. Okay. Yes. Oh. Sometimes, yeah. So the question is, you go Christmas shopping to bring joy to other people. Exactly.
So, while you're all being grumpy, standing in line, be excited because you're going to win that joy. Whatever, when they're
going to
open that present, so it's worth the hours standing and being grumpy, or being in that impatient moment when you're standing forever, because that
1 second
of joy that you're bringing to someone else because of the gift that you're giving them.
Right.
It's so worth it.
Well said.
Listen to what she said.
Yeah, what she said. Noe.
Why
go in October? Yeah, that's, well, we've done that before. She's, why not go in October?
Oh, yeah.
Get it all done early. Because if you don't wait till the last minute, you know, then it seems like it's really not Christmas. I don't know. It's like, oh, we shop on Amazon too. Sorry, but yeah. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I agree. There's certain things you can't get on Amazon, like little kids' pajamas, okay?
They're terrible.
They're not the right sizes, and so.
It's terrible.
QVC, you know, I'm going to expand my shopping boundaries, I think, next year. So, do you know they don't hardly make kids' t-shirts anymore without any kind of emblem on them? I mean,
they don't make plain t-shirts
anymore.
Go figure.
I mean, what happened to plain t-shirts?
I know.
Anyway. We rant. You know what I'm talking about, Tanya? No plain t-shirts anymore. Not even hard for guys. Okay. Anyway, let's move on. I digress. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That is the key. Walking in the Spirit. In other words, purposefully submitting yourself to God. Purposefully remembering that you don't have to let these things here on earth govern you and be your guide,
right,
to where you follow their little trails to misery and anxiety and frustration and hatred. You stay in Christ where you can have the full peace of God. You can have the full joy of God. And you can have the full love of God. Love, joy, peace. Fruit of the Spirit. And you have something.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to all whom God favors. peace. I always, whenever I think of peace, I always think about Aaron. It's our son that passed away, and the day of his burial, how my husband got up and spoke at his service, and he embodied physically what God meant about, you know, in tumultuous times, you will have peace. He embodied it, and it was so awe-inspiring to me that he could do that. I couldn't, but he did. And it's such a life analogy for me when I get all uptight and, you know, things are just not going the way they're supposed to go. That's a life analogy God let happen. How long ago? Almost 18 years ago.
And it had to have been divine, because here I'm getting not peace over long lines.
Yeah.
And here my son going to be with the Lord.
Yeah.
So it was divinely inspired. But
that's the analogy the Lord let me have so that I could remember it all these years later. That's the kind of peace that he's talking about. In the midst of everything that's just not working.
The bottom line is, I really believe that we have everything that we need. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sometimes easy to look at our life and it looks like we're, you know, and I guess in a state of lacking and, you know, spiritual deficit in our lives. But really, if we would just, at that point, turn to the Lord and focus on him, we realize what he's deposited in us. And just because it maybe has been dormant for 10 years doesn't mean it's not there. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've spoken to somebody, they haven't done anything with their faith, they haven't, you know, gone to church, so to speak, they haven't been like what we would consider in Christ. Yet they start talking and you realize that it's still there. It never went anywhere. They just didn't focus on it. Mm-hmm. They just weren't aware of his presence. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, does anyone have anything to share? You're gonna come. You're already walking up. It's like, good morning, by the way.
Yeah, good morning. When we were just today, God gave me a picture of an earthen vessel, and I heard him just kind of pressing upon my heart, you're a hidden treasure within this earthen vessel. I just heard him declaring a treasure in you. That's what I kind of heard him speaking. And then I got an image of when the woman came before Jesus and the jar of perfume was broken before him. This earthen vessel was broken out in this pouring of the heart, of her heart upon his feet, and her cares upon his feet, and her love upon the feet, and the washing of his feet with her heart, basically. And that is all God really wants from us. He's not requiring us to be something, do something, go something, run something, seek him harder, do all these things. He just requires us to come. The surrender part is the brokenness. And actually, there's a choice there. Because when I hear him speaking, I just hear it's a choice. It's a choice to lay your heart before him.
Yeah.
It's a choice to break before him. A breaking of the jar is yourself breaking your heart open and pouring out what's in upon him. So that is the breaking part. It's the choice. Now, life can break you to a point of repentance, where you can be a non-Christian or whatever, and you can just have a bunch of junk happen in your life, the worst of the worst of the worst, and you're just broken, and you come to the Lord. But you see, you're broken there because of the circumstance, but you make the choice to turn and come.
Right.
Now, the choice is still there, your free will choice to come. And that's all he wants, is to lavish his love upon you, and he sees you as a treasure of his heart.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's a good word.
Just come. I think that's why Jesus summed it up. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Just come. Amen. So, anyone else first? Okay. I wanted to let everyone know this coming Wednesday night,
the 21st at our house at 6 o'clock, right? 6 to 8, which is over here at the Parsonage. We're going to have an open house drop-in. So you can just come and stay a few minutes, or you can just come and stay the whole 2 hours. We're going to have food, fellowship, and fun. And the youth will be joining us. That'll be cool. No, the youth won't be joining us? Oh, I thought they were.
Yeah. Tanya told me no.
Oh, Tanya said no. Oh, man.
I didn't say that either.
We're going to be doing our Christmas party here at the church.
Oh, you are. You're going to do your Christmas party
at the
church.
At the same time that ours is going on.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, well, the youth won't be joining us, but if you want to come over and say hi to the youth, you can at least say hi to them and wave to them. But you guys can still come over to visit for a moment. It's a drop-in. You guys can still drop in. So I want to say hi to your folks, because I won't be able to get away. I'll be
busy.
Not grumbling, though. I'll be happy.
Joyous.
Well, praise the Lord. And then next Saturday,
11 a.m.
We'll be here. This will be our Christmas service. We're going to be joining the Journey Church. And we're going to do a couple of deals. And they're going to do a couple of deals. But we're mainly just getting together, worship the Lord. It'll be like our worship day. And we won't be meeting on Christmas Day. Christmas Day, you can be all with your families. Okay? Any questions? Answers?
Come to us if you have questions.
Yep. God bless you. Have a great day.
Love you all.
Okay. Oh, pray. Oh, yes. We got to pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And Father, we pray that you would just seal your word in our hearts. Lord, that we would live and walk in your love, joy, and peace, Lord. And that we would learn to surrender, Lord, as Daniel so eloquently said, Lord, learn to surrender to you in brokenness. Surrender to you, Lord, in total yieldedness, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Noe.